All right, Freaky Friday on the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. It is October 23rd. The Birds with a big win. We're in first place. That's where we started off today. And seeing as we were all drinking last night during the game and got 3 hours of sleep, we hit the phones to hear your hangover order. Brian May was featured in Song Stories today for Keep Yourself Alive. There's a dog out there who's a fan of Star Trek. Jason Mertidis joined us for a look at the biggest games this weekend in the NFL with his pigskin picks. And a man who shaved his legendary mustache was on the show. It's not John, don't worry. Jeff Foxworthy, he checked in to let us know what he's been up to lately, aside from shaving his face. Have a listen. Here it is, the Daily Podcast.
Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It. A perfect song for making our way to number one in the NFC East.
Woo!
Yeah, big, but there's gonna be parades and everything today. Woo! What a bunch of crap. That was the best college football game I've watched all season.
I wish it was college football.
That was a bad high school game.
Some more touchdowns would have been nice.
I was like watching Judge play Ryan.
It was just, I'm watching this thing. And at times it was exciting, you know, because of the speed of the game at first.
Sure.
Right? You know, and then it was just like, oh, this is just F up Central.
That was a great first drive.
Right.
And a great last drive.
Last drive, yeah.
Right.
Bookend it.
Right, they bookended
Beautiful.
It.
Yeah.
Very good. Look, very good.
We won. Whatever.
As bad as those two teams stink, I was saying to Dave earlier, I got to give Carson Wentz credit for the first drive, which was great,
right
down the field, and then to somehow lead that pile of crap team back for a win with 2 minutes left to play is relatively impressive with an unbelievably perfect pass to a guy who's 5'2".
Right. Did Brad Williams catch that?
Yeah, I think he might.
Brad Williams is out there.
He got the TD. Yeah, big win.
It was
Giants lost. It's a great day.
Yeah. It's good. And it was the first time we ever saw someone trip on one of the lines on the field.
Yes.
Right? You know, that was like, what the hell? That's the most white guy move I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It was fun. I placed 20 bets. I told Steve I won $11.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
He spent $12.
He spent 12 and in 111.
No, it was 40. Give me some credit.
Oh, okay.
The John DeBella Podcast. 102.9 MGK.
Have you ever ordered a McDonald's from Uber Eats?
No.
No?
No.
Something tells me that yeah.
Of course she has.
I know Taylor did. Right? Arms go flying up into the air. Well, an unnamed woman in Toronto learned just how specific a McDonald's is willing to be. While nursing a serious hangover, the woman thought a hamburger might do the trick. So she ordered it with no bun, no mustard, no onion, no pickles, no patty.
What?
So they sent her two packets of ketchup.
I love that.
Are you serious?
What she wanted?
She must have had one hell of a hangover, right? What is your go-to thing? Your hangover go-to food?
Probably a cheesesteak.
It's got to have grease.
It doesn't matter if it's chicken steak, regular steak. It's got to be greasy and probably cheesy.
Mine's actually McDonald's. I'm right there with her.
Really?
Only I actually order food.
Give me the big breakfast
with the hotcakes. Give me a McGriddle.
Yeah, see, I'll either go grease or I'll go like eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, probably fried, so there's grease.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know. You know, let's open up the phone lines real quick. 215-263-WMGK. What is your go-to hangover drunk food? The name for the choir boys who used to be able to sing really high were the castrati.
Oh. Okay, it makes sense.
Fortunately enough, we've stopped doing that to choir boys. Now the priests just touch them.
Yes, exactly.
63 Jesus. Degrees outside.
We were all thinking
now. Exactly. All right. A mostly cloudy day is ahead of us. Still a lot of fog out there. There's some drizzle, too. So be careful on the roadway. 63 outside at the moment. So what? You said McDonald's is your go-to hangover food?
Oh, God. All day.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
There's one everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So cheap.
Uh-huh.
So good.
Yeah.
Gets the job done.
Right. Now, I'm with Steve, though. I will go cheesesteak first. I need more grease.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, because in that case, it gets sucked up by the bun. You know, I need the grease directly. All right.
You need to inject it.
That's it. So 215-263-WMGK. Let's go to the phone. We got Dylan, what's your go-to drunk food?
It has to be a Western omelet and a fountain soda.
Okay. All right.
Ooh,
all right.
I like
I like specific fountain soda.
Yeah,
don't give me a can of Coke.
Yeah.
right? I want the hairy.
It's much different to have a fountain soda than a canister.
Oh, that's for damn sure. Benjamin, what's your
go-to drunk food?
Your go-to drunk food?
John's drunk.
Cold pizza and a tall glass of chocolate milk.
Wow.
See, I hate cold pizza, and I can't find myself drinking milk hungover.
Really?
No.
Okay. I can't find myself drinking milk with pizza. I'll eat cold pizza. Yeah. Right? I'll drink milk, but I will not have the two of those together. Cindy, what is your go-to hangover food?
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts?
Of course.
Pop-Tarts?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to eat anything too.
Playoffs? Pop-Tarts? I just, wow. I mean, there's no grease in that.
Exactly. I have a delicate stomach.
Oh, is that it? Oh.
Yeah. And a lot of water, I guess. I don't know.
All right. All right. Well, then what's happening on the roadway?
If you're west of
there's Pop-Tarts all over the highway. Pop-Tarts.
Oh, in my dreams.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Hey, baby, why don't you rip off that funny uniform and start shaking your moneymaker?
102.9 MGK.
Have you heard the story that the suspension of Antonio Brown is set to end by week 8? And was that next week? Is that next week?
Yeah, this is week 7. Yeah,
this is 7 right now. So by week 8, all right? And it looks like the Seahawks are going to pick him up.
Great.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Right?
That's awesome. Right, more firepower in the NFC.
How long is that contract? 8 games?
Oh, God, I don't
1 know. 1 year?
Well,
yeah, how does that work?
I mean, if a year contract ends... technically ends when the season is over, because they don't get paid when they're not playing.
When they're playing, right? So,
it's
an eight-game contract.
Yeah,
really.
And it's none of it's guaranteed.
Right.
Now, maybe he gets a small signing bonus,
and
then he blows up two weeks later.
Do you think all of the crap that he went through will change his ways?
No. Multiple times.
Why did I get the feeling that's exactly what his answer was going to be?
And he's an amazing player.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a wacko.
Well, it's his life.
The John DeBella Podcast.
102.9
MGK. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by our DeBellaware Valley Acura dealers. For attractive offers on the entire Acura lineup, visit your DeBellaware Valley Acura dealer today. Brian May was never completely happy with the recording of Keep Yourself Alive. He wasn't thrilled with his music. He doesn't like the way the lyrics were interpreted. And now we'll just let him explain it.
It's strange. It's very often the things that you write and think that are just a little aside that become important, because that to me was a bit quirky and a bit poppy, and it was meant to be ironical, really. I was meant to be saying, you know, if all you can do in life is keep yourself alive, then there isn't much hope for you. It was meant to be sarcastic, but strangely enough, it was taken directly, which proved to me that I failed.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
A funny thing happened at home with Ditto, because I was thinking about starting to ask Ditto, you know, make his picks again. It's been a long time since Ditto made his football picks.
Yeah.
You know, with Jason coming up, I wonder if he might do better than Jason.
I mean, it's hard not to.
Coin flip.
So, but Jason will be joining us at 7:40 with his pigskin picks. But yesterday, Ditto went through a procedure that normally they would have knocked a dog out for, right? But in Ditto's case, you can't do that. He's got a low heart rate, so if you knock him out, right, he could die.
Okay.
Right? So when he was done, he had to have a little procedure done in his eye. Right. And when he was done, they gave Lisa all this medicine and a bag full of stuff. And you get home, and one of the things that she pulls out of the bag is a certificate of bravery.
Right. Wow. Oh, my God.
And it's signed by all the vets at the vet places. Aww. That certificate of bravery.
Is it up on the fridge?
Listen to Dave and I ripping, and then Cindy in the background.
Okay. Yeah, right.
She's got a frame for it.
Okay, well, maybe you'll be impressed by this, right? There's a dog that I found online. Okay. That is a Star Trek fan. And how do we know he's a Star Trek fan? Because he can sing the jingle. Listen to this.
Oh, my God.
I want to hear it.
You don't hear it?
I don't hear it.
Oh, God, I heard it. In fact, he got the jump on it. He was doing notes before they came up on the TV.
Maybe that's what it was then.
Especially when he gets to this part over here. It's the big blast.
I still don't hear it.
Really?
Am I missing out?
Steve's just tone deaf.
No, Steve, you're going deaf. He doesn't play an instrument. He doesn't understand tone.
I feel bad for him, and I'm a drummer.
2-4-1, huh?
Who would ever believe
that would be the first place in a division? I mean, it's just nuts.
I'll take it. You know, whatever. I'll take it.
I know. Dave's just sitting here trying to figure out how he's going to spend the $11 he spent.
Exactly.
He won last night.
Carson's number. It's lucky.
What do you think this sound is?
The John DeBella Podcast.
Could you make a sound like that?
102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is time to check in with our buddy from the Fanatic for Pigskin Picks, the one, the only, Jason Martinez, joining us this morning. Good morning.
I feel like that dog that was singing Star Trek. That's what my plays have felt like.
Okay, let's start with the NFC East champion, or leaders at this time. Right, the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you want to say about last night's game?
My picks have been so bad, I don't know that I could still pick the winner in that game last night. Because the winner of that game last night may go on to win the division. Now, ESPN put out a computer simulation that says the Eagles could win the division with a record of 6-9-1. Wow. Boy, I can't wait to get that division shirt. Celebrate that one.
Yeah, there's a hat I want.
Yeah. No team in the NFL, John, has ever made the playoffs with just 6 wins when they've played a full season, a non-strike shortened season. Mm-hmm. 2 teams in NFL history have made the playoffs with a sub-500 record. Some have made it with a 500 record, but only 2 have made it with a sub-500 record. 2010, Seattle was 7-9. 2015, Carolina was 7-8-1. Each of those teams actually went on to win their first playoff game, because oddly enough, it was at home of the dumb rules. But in week 2 of the playoffs, they got belted. So don't look for it to get in with a 6-9-1 record and expect your team to go on a run. They won last night. It was a good win for the few fans that were in the building. And when you've only won one game through 6 games so far in the season, just any win feels good. And anytime you beat New York, it feels even better. Yep. So, take it.
Although, a couple of things that happened in the game last night that really ticked me off.
What's that?
Right. One is, before the game happened, Fox 29 ran a promo for their news. All right. And whoever the sportswoman was, right, because she was out there in a mask on, I didn't recognize her. Uh-huh. Right, she goes out and she says she's standing up at one of the top levels, going, "You can feel the tension in the stadium."
What?
What? How? What? Those 12 people? Whatever the hell was there?
The tension was on the Eagles sideline of what coach is getting fired when.
and then Golden Tate doing his impression of Vice Gamma. It was weak. It was very, very weak. Beating up the goalpost.
Vi was a gold glove boxer who beat the living daylights just not that long ago out of Jose Canseco, who's 3 times his size. Don't try to be Vi.
Right, that's for sure. All right, let's move to your game of the week, the Seahawks and the Cardinals. This game has been moved from the afternoon to the night game. All right, Seattle is a 3.5-point favorite, all right, on the road. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, this is a really interesting game. And the one thing we don't know is how all these changes in scheduling is affecting teams. Is it affecting the road team more than it's affecting, the team that's laying in wait at their home building? Because NFL teams tend to travel at least the day before. And it's here's the deal, though. When rubber meets the road, it's a 5-0 team versus a 4-2 team.
Right.
And the Cardinals are a team on the come in a big way, and Kyler Murray's a big part of that. Mm-hmm. They haven't actually won at home versus a team with a winning record in their division since 2012 against Seattle. But I look at this game and I go, okay, the Cardinals are a team that's got it coming right now. They're really putting it together. And I'd like them in this game. I'll take the points at home, and I'll take the Cardinals. So if you're a betting person, bet Seattle.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason.
One of these weeks, I'm going to be right. Probably when it's over.
Pittsburgh at Tennessee. The Titans are a one-point favorite. All right.
This is absolutely your game of the week. It's a battle of the unbeaten in the AFC. A lot of people saying whoever wins this game is the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Wow. Out of the AFC. The quarterback play, Ben Roethlisberger's got 11 touchdowns, one interception. Ryan Tannehill, who's found a home and a rhythm in Tennessee, 13 touchdowns and just two interceptions on the season. So really good protecting the ball. The Steelers, in their favor, they give up the least amount of points in the NFL. Tops in that category. But when you look at what Tennessee's done over the past couple of weeks and the teams that they have played, how about this? 33 versus Jacksonville, 31 versus Minnesota, 42 versus Buffalo, and how about another 42 versus Houston? Steelers are not going to be able to hold that team off at home. The only undefeated team coming out of this game is going to be the Tennessee Titans. Minus the one, you take them at home.
All right, and then might as well just quickly, the crap NFC East game of the weekend, Cowboys at Washington.
Yeah, I always say that when you're betting, never put good money on bad football. And this is going to be bad football. But, you know, I look at all the numbers in this game, and it says to go with Dallas, but I can never go with Dallas.
Okay.
Not that the Washington football team is a whole lot better, but I actually think Washington wins this football game outright.
All right. Ooh. So with the Seahawks-Cardinals, you're going with the Cardinals. With the lock of the week, the Pittsburgh against Tennessee, you're going with the Titans. And you're picking Washington. Jason Martinez, our guest from our sister station, The Fanatic. Jason, have yourself a great weekend.
Enjoy, boys.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
It seems that you have changed your ways about this.
Oh, no. What did I do?
You shaved off your mustache. And as a mustache guy, I find that sacrilegious.
All right, so I have to explain. So I started growing my mustache between my junior and senior year of high school.
So did I. Okay. All right, I get that.
5 years, my wife has never seen my lips. So when lockdown started and all my shows started getting canceled, I thought, all right, you know, I'm not on stage. Nobody has to see me. I'm going to shave my mustache for the first time in my adult life. And I went in the bathroom, snipped it off with a scissor, shaved my lip, didn't even know what I was doing. And I walked out and nobody said anything for a minute. And then my wife stopped and she looked at me and she goes, "Oh, wow, grow it back." So I had my daughter take my picture because nobody had ever seen my lip. And so I posted it on Instagram. And like you, the response was no, no, no. No, you are supposed to have a mustache. And so I've officially shaved my lip one time in my life, and the mustache is back and a little bit grayer, it seems like, than before I shaved it off.
They have products to fix that.
So. Well, no, this is, I'm saying it's Arctic Blonde.
Have you been just hanging out at the farm because of being quarantined? You know, what are you doing?
Well, we spent the first 9 weeks at the farm. I had never been, John, probably more than 10 or 11 days without being on stage. And certainly not 2 weeks without being on an airplane.
Uh-huh.
And so for 9 weeks, I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to eat dinner with your family. This is what it's like to be home on a Saturday night. And, I mean, I loved it. You know, my wife and I would go for a walk every night, and it's just kind of like gearing down. And I'm not going to lie. I miss being on stage. But I had found creative things to do. So I've been working on my games, and I found out that I'm going to be a granddad for the first time.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, my side of the family, 13 girls in a row, and my daughter's having a boy.
Oh, wow. This kid's going to be treated like a king.
This kid's already a king. And here's the deal. I think this is why these games became so important to me. And you and I, we go back a long way.
Sure.
And, you know, with these games, when I sat down to create Relative Insanity, I thought, what do we all have in common? No matter where we live, everybody's family's crazy. Everybody's family is nuts. So I sat down and I wrote 100 setups involving family, just relatives. And the setup might be, right before we walked down the aisle, Daddy leaned over to me and whispered blank. And then I got note cards and I wrote 500 punchlines.
Okay, all right.
It sounded funny. And I had at Thanksgiving, I had all my relatives sit down at the table and play this game. You can learn to play it in 10 seconds. One person reads the setup and everybody throws down the punchline they think is going to get the biggest laugh.
So is there any way that we could, without the cards, is there any way that we could play around?
Well, it's so hard because it's pictures. So like I'll give you an idea. So one day I pulled up at the farm and one of my best friends is standing in front of the barn wearing a pair of Daisy Duke shorts with his junk about to hang out and cowboy boots and a mullet wig, and he's got his leg up on the front wheel of my tractor. And I just burst out laughing, pulled out my phone and took a picture of him. Well, that's one of the pictures in the game, you know. And then one of the punchlines might be, you know, what happens in the barn stays in the barn.
Okay, all right.
Then I developed a weird rash or, you know, something like...
you mean like I didn't know the gay pride parade was starting here?
Yeah, right out here in the country. And I wanted to do it in a way where everybody could play it, because the reason I invented Relative Insanity was and all the kids, they were playing Cards Against Humanity, and I'm like, you can't do this. Your aunt and uncle are here. You go down in the basement, you know. I don't want an ambulance picking up grandma on the front lawn.
Now, speaking of other projects of yours, what's going on with What It's Worth?
I don't know. I mean, I hope it comes back. We were supposed to do that show live, you know, and then obviously COVID hit. And so, you know, we were like, well, can we virtually go into people's houses and see their stuff? And it worked. I like people anyway. I love the fact that somebody just would walk us through their dirty house and pull out their valuables from the sock drawer and show it to us.
Yeah.
Anything really cool jump out at you that you remember from the show that was a wow?
Yeah, somebody had underneath their bed that the wife was trying to get them to put in a yard sale. It was a Picasso.
What?
That somehow their mother had acquired. Somebody else had an Andy Warhol original that ended up being worth $500,000.
Oh, my God.
That'd ever be me.
I know. It's never us. It's never us. It's the same reason.
No, never us. You know, right. But we all have that thing where we, because I just moved. I know where you're like, oh, I can't throw this away. This right. would be worth something here. And it was almost always the people that thought it was going to be really valuable, it never was. And the people that were about to get rid of it, that's the stuff that was, you know, worth $100,000 or something.
Did you bump into anything that's like, why did you even ask us about that? That is a piece of crap.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a... Look, I wrote, you might be a redneck if. Do you not think that I've been to a yard sale or two? Where people are going, hey, how much you want for the Tupperware with the warped lids?
The game is called Relative Insanity. See what I mean? In stores now. Jeff Foxworthy, the creator in this case. I'm surprised you haven't done some sort of virtual concert by now.
Yeah, I was supposed to do a Netflix special, and they were even, because I'd sat down at the end of last year, I've written a new hour and a half of stuff I was really proud of. It was just starting to work. And they were like, well, could we do it without an audience? And I'm like, no, we cannot. So hopefully as soon as we're able to get back in theaters, we'll get that out.
What about a blue-collar guys thing? I mean, you guys could sit 6 feet apart. Probably most times you should.
Yeah, but you want to sit 6 feet from Larry. You know? I don't know how far a bed bug can jump, but it can't be more than 6 feet. So, I would love to do blue collar again. Ron's the one. Every time we talk about Ron's like, I can't write 30 minutes of clean material. I'm like, man, you did it on the other one. Okay, I'm too lazy to write 30 minutes of clean material. So.
He's the Robert Plant of the blue collar gangs.
100%.
Jeff, it was great to talk to you again. You know you're always welcome. If I do not speak to you before the end of the year, have a great holiday season and good luck with the game.
Thank you so much. Great to catch up with you, John. Thanks for having me.
You take care.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You have the right to remain horny. Oh,
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.